This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com. This is an encore edition of The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Julie will be back live next week.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care. You can go to AllTheBestPetCare.com and see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington, providing all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. Well, we've got a doozy today, Eric. We've got Susan Thixton back on the show. We're going to talk to her in just a couple minutes. She's
all right.
The founder of truthaboutpetfood.com, mm-hmm. and she's also the author of her new book, Buyer Beware, The Crimes, Lies, and Truth About Pet Food. And if you know anything about the show, you know, food is probably the thing that gets me the most fired up.
Yeah, you know, this is something that the Dog Talk Show has tackled, of course, over the lifetime of the show. But it seems like it's something that's bubbling under in the public consciousness more and more over the last year. And, you know, of course, you've contributed to that discussion, which is fantastic. But I think really nationwide, this is something that people are starting to become aware of and not terribly happy about.
No.
The makeup of
It is. And in this region of the country, especially more so than the rest of the country. But
we tend to be kind of a little more conscious about these sort of things, you know.
Well, as more and more pets get sick and die from pet food, people become more
start
and more aware
two
of
and
it.
Two together, yeah.
And they start, I mean, it's personal. For me, that's why it gets me so fired up, because it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably hear that in my voice today as I talk to Susan Thixton. I just wanted to make a couple quick announcements. We have two new advertisers on the show, and technically not till next week, but wanted to give them a shout out because there's a Dog Talk Show hookup for one of the advertisers. Dr. Don's Automotive is in Ballard. They've got 2 locations, and Dog Talk Show listeners get 5% discount off of parts and labor, which is great. Not only do they provide expert service, all makes and models, they're dog lovers. I can personally tell you that you can trust them, you know, and that can be kind of tricky with, you know, bringing your car in and you don't know what's wrong. And so you leave it up to the expert to tell you what's wrong and what needs to be fixed. A lot of people have the experience of being taken advantage of. So that's not going to happen with Dr. Don's. They're dog lovers after all. And if you can't trust a dog lover, who can you trust? But 5% discount for Dog Talk Show listeners. So if you need anything from an oil change to brake service, I just got my brakes done there last week, actually. And their price was $100 less than the dealership price. And they used higher quality brake pads. So check them out, Dr. Don's Automotive. They're in Ballard in Seattle. Great service. Highly recommend. And Dog Talk Show listeners get a 5% discount. We also have a new advertiser, Eastside Insurance. They represent Progressive Insurance, among other quality companies. But Progressive actually has a part of their policy. If an accident is covered in your policy with Progressive, they'll actually help pay for vet bills if your pet is in the car and gets injured in an accident as well. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Eastside Insurance, their website is e-z-insurance.com. I know the guys there too. Dog lovers, great people, totally trustworthy. Highly recommend both of those businesses. And you'll hear their ads on the show moving forward. So I'd like to bring Susan Thixton on the show because we can waste no time today. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show, Susan.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming back. You were here last September, and we had listeners call in and read their pet food list of ingredients, the first five or so ingredients, to you, and you sort of decoded or deciphered.
I like the decoding part.
Yeah.
That's good terminology.
Yeah. And it was a great show. You know, very, very educational, very beneficial, and just a great show. And you have a book out that I'm thrilled about. And I've been kind of talking and been making noise about this book for a while, ever since it came out. It's called Buyer Beware, The Crimes, Lies, and Truth About Pet Food. And, of course, your website is www.truthaboutpetfood.com. And I originally wanted to certainly we're talking about some material in the book, but the book is basically a sort of you've sort of put together, you know, a lot of the information that you've come across over the years into this book. But you also have a great newsletter and lots of articles that you've written. And we're just going to get to the first part of the book today, and then hopefully we'll have you back in the near future sometime to talk more about what's in this book, because there's just so much information. But I wanted to start this show talking about where you start with the book, which I think is a great place to talk about in educating people about pet food, which is about the labeling and regulations. But first, will you just tell us a little bit about how you got your start in this, you know, doing what you're doing now?
I learned a hard lesson in your very beginning of the show, talking about it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
It became personal to me when one of my dogs died. Bone cancer, this was 20 years ago, and my veterinarian, who knew more about pet food 20 years ago than many, many vets, if not most vets, know today, he knew more, and he shared with me that the chemical preservative in her food, which was the leading dog food in the country at the time, still one of the top pet food producers in the world, the chemical preservatives in that food was more than likely responsible for her cancer.
Mm.
And this dog died at 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He explained that the chemical preservatives are there to extend the shelf life of mm-hmm. the food. And at the time, I was very naive, did not have really a good understanding of, you know, chemicals, shelf life, what's shelf life. But I called the pet food company.
Mm-hmm.
And what they told me changed my life. They told me that this food's shelf life, how long it would stay fresh, was 25 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, from then on, I have my vet at the time helped me. You know, he had textbooks that he loaned me, and anybody I could stop long enough to learn from. The internet now is just a great resource, but as much as I can learn, we all continue to learn.
Yeah.
So,
25 years. It's over.
Yeah, in that three more than three times longer than my dog lived.
Yeah, I know.
Our dog food would stay fresh.
Right, yeah, real fresh.
Yeah, no extra charge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I've been working in the pet, you know, my expertise is in training behavior and to some extent the pet food industry. I've been kind of sniffing around myself ever since actually it started when I first moved out here when I was in my apprentice program almost 10 years ago. For dog training and behavior, I was working at All the Best Pet Care, which is now one of the sponsors of the show. And the education that I got there kind of clued me into that there was a lot to know about the world of pet food and the pet food industry, and that when it was bad, it was real bad. And so ever since then, I've just been interested and passionate because I take it personally, too. If there's anything I'm protective of, it's my dogs. I don't know that I'm protective of anything else more in the world than my dogs. I don't have children. So don't mess with them and don't mess with their health and don't lie to me about what's in the food if it's going to harm them. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from.
I understand.
Yeah. So the part I think that, you know, there's so much to it. There's the ingredients that they use, which is an issue. And that's a can of worms. And going to pun intended
probably
for that one.
Probably be healthier if it was a can of worms in many cases, right?
Yeah. So, you know, there's the ingredients and that's a problem. But the main thing that really bothers me that I just find to be such an injustice is the labeling and regulations, because they're not saying what is in the food. Like, okay, fine. If you're going to use, you know, worst case scenario, if you're going to use potentially, you know, meat that's come from animals that have been euthanized or even potentially euthanized pets, you should have to say it on the front of the bag in bold print very clearly, because people should know what they're buying. Especially they should know what they're feeding their pets, who they love as family members.
Well, you know, if you take it one step further, using condemned meat, okay, meat that would not be animals that have not died by slaughter.
Right.
That is federal law. Federal law.
Yep.
For any food, not just human food. Food under federal law is defined as anything consumable by humans and animals.
Mm-hmm.
So right off the get-go, there is blatant violation of federal law. And then you take it the step further in, okay, here's a violation of federal law, and then they're not honest about it. You
right.
know, it's mind-boggling. It's truly, if your listeners, some of your listeners, if this is the first time they've heard this, they're going, oh, come on. That couldn't be true.
Yeah.
But it is. All the evidence is on the FDA website.
Yeah. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get into more of the detail about that. I've got it all highlighted right in front of me in your book, Susan. Your book is called Buyer Beware, and where can people get it? On Amazon?
Amazon.com, yeah.
Okay. So Buyer Beware by Susan Thixton, and her website is truthaboutpetfood.com. Check it out. We'll be back in just a few minutes talking more with Susan Thixton. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that is fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you are a Dog Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to New Pro Supplements, we cover the world of animals. This week, July 29th, it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll catch up with the birds at Mollywood and the horses at All Breed Equine Rescue. We'll hear about upcoming summer fundraisers for several rescues, plus all the details from an Animal World listener's Facebook creation to help animals. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. 50.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. Or follow them on Facebook.
For home repair, remodeling, construction advice, ideas, and useful stories every Saturday from 10 till 11 a.m., tune in to Constructing Whatever. With over 40 years of combined experience, hosts Tim and Lynn talk about whatever, from important need-to-know topics to fielding your questions about the latest industry news. It's Constructing Whatever, every Saturday morning, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This week, vacation. It's over. Get back to work. Saturday, 10 a.m.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
For an extra bar, for an extra smile. I never felt so free. It was just my dog and me.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back talking with Susan Thixton, the founder of truthaboutpetfood.com and the author of her new book, Buyer Beware, The Crimes, Lies, and Truth About Pet Food. Welcome back, Susan.
Glad to be back.
All right. So we're talking about today. There's a lot to talk about. There is a lot to talk about this. I mean, it's crazy. I'm sure you continue to learn as much as you already know. I'm sure you're learning every day more and more.
Yes,
about
you do.
This whole world.
You pull back, it's like layers of an onion.
Yeah.
You keep discovering.
Yeah. And it's even many, many onions that have many, many different layers. So the onion, the stinky, stenchy onion that we're going to be talking about today is the regulation and the labeling, because that's kind of where it starts. Like you said. So I have a problem with the labeling. I also, like you pointed out, I have a problem with the fact that some of these ingredients are even legal or not, or being, you know, not being regulated, you know, that they're even in pet food. First of all, they shouldn't even be available, let alone mislabeled.
That's
right. So, you know, we're talking about the regulations. So who it's AFCO and the FDA.
AFCO is the Association of American Feed Control Officials, which is not a government agency. It is representatives. It is an organization that's been around almost 100 years or a little over 100 years, made up of State Department, each state's Department of Agriculture. Now, not every state is represented in AFCO. Not every state accepts AFCO's development of pet food ingredient definitions, all animal food, actually, ingredient definitions, and all animal food regulations. So, inner problem number one.
Mm-hmm.
We have this organization that is responsible that the FDA accepts flat out their regulations, the nutrient profiles of what all animals' food should be, labeling everything. FDA says, you tell me what it should be, we're with you, we'll accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you complicate this matter in that not every single state is on board.
Mm-hmm.
So, as example, Nevada, one in Nevada, you call the State Department of Agriculture and you say, "Oh, my pet got sick from this food." There's no one in their State Department of Agriculture that has anything to do with pet food. They just kind of throw their hands up in the air and go, "Oh, well, okay." Mm-hmm. Your state, the state of Washington, I've met several of these people. Your state appears to have people that really do care.
Mm.
Okay. But unless, you know, every state is the same, there's problems right there.
Right.
You know, because each state's got different regulations and we'll let you do this and then the next state won't let you do that. And, you know, so there's the problem. One, the true government agency that oversees pet food is the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the FDA, what truly should govern pet food is the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act.
Right.
Those laws were developed for all food in the United States, but the FDA does not follow the law. FDA administration developed what they call compliance policies.
Right.
And these are directives, more or less, for field representatives. And they tell the field representatives, yeah, this is the law, but we're not going to enforce it.
This is the law, but you don't really, this is the extent to which you really have to pay attention to the law.
Exactly.
Yeah, that works.
Exactly.
So compliance policies. Is kind of what they called it, and you said that in your book that the compliance policies really should not even exist. The law is the law, but not with the FDA. And you gave an example in a conversation that you had with two FDA representatives.
Yeah, that was a fun conversation.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You said, "I shared with them pet owner awareness of FDA compliance policies and pet owners being dumbfounded by these policies. I told them I make the analogy of the local police issuing a statement that, quote, should anyone from one particular neighborhood rob a bank, the police would not prosecute this individual for their illegal actions." And you shared that, in essence, this is what the FDA tells pet food manufacturers. Rob the bank, but we won't arrest you. And the FDA agent told you, "We liken it to speeding." And then you said, "Although I remained composed during this phone conversation, my brain was screaming." And that the FDA considers its own decision to allow horrendous illegal ingredients in pet food similar to speeding. Well, like you point out, speeding is illegal, and people actually do get, it is regulated, right? To some degree, you get a ticket.
That's right.
And speeding do kill innocent victims. And it's just, you know, it's just interesting that it's like they acknowledged it, but they're like, well, it's not really as bad as robbing a bank.
Yeah,
it was more like speeding.
I couldn't believe that they said that.
Yeah.
I my mouth just hung open that he was just so nonchalant. And for your listeners, this is so serious in that literally the FDA, the term within the industry, it's called 4D animals, meat derived from 4D.
And this is an FDA term?
Yes.
Okay, 4D.
You know, within the industry itself, 4D, the 4Ds are dead animals, diseased animals, dying animals, and disabled animals. Okay? Mm. All of those type of animals are not allowed into human food. And any sane person would think, well, okay, if it's not allowed in human food, then surely that meat or that animal would be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Those animals, thanks to FDA compliance policies, those animals are ground up, cooked, and allowed to be processed into pet food
mm-hmm.
without consumer knowledge. Back on your issue of the label.
Right.
There's no, you know, pictures on the front of the label show, you know, choice cuts of lean
right.
meat.
Oh, and, I know. Yeah.
You know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
But that might not necessarily be what's in the label.
It's yeah.
inside the bag.
Well, and so let's talk about labels for a minute. So, okay, so there's some campaigns. So I have a little bit of a collection here. It's a binder of ads, pet food ads that I've either ripped out of magazines or the actual labels that I've cut out of the list of ingredients. And then in some cases, like the front of the bag, which is really what people look at. But I've got these interesting ads, and you actually speak to this in the book as well. Okay, pets have been living with people for at least 14,000 years. And once they really started living more closely to us and sort of sharing our food source, how that looked was most likely that they, you know, cleaned up our leftovers or ate our leftovers or, you know, ate our quote unquote garbage. But this was when our garbage was, you know, carcasses of animals that were just killed or, you know, overripe at that time, organic fruit yeah. and vegetables.
And not genetically modified.
No, and not yeah. no antibiotics, no hormones, yeah. no, you know, all this stuff. We're not talking about processed wheat, you know, laced with melamine to boost the nitrogen content. So that, you know, it's like it was just food.
Right.
And so it's interesting that on the one hand, the pet food companies scare people and they say, don't, you know, don't feed human food. And I have customers, your clients of mine for training that, you know, I always ask people what they're feeding their pet because I've seen it have a direct correlation to behavior.
Definitely.
And they say, oh, well, we don't feed him any people food. You know, like that's what I thinking that that's what I want to hear. But I'm like, OK,
right.
well, you know, that I'm not impressed. And so I always, you know, educate them. But it's interesting that they scare people about human food. And at the same time, there's ad campaigns. One of my favorite ones is Al's the voice of real dogs. And it says, Al says, dogs and strollers, designer dog foods, wake me when it's over. He thinks it's time for a little common sense. Time to get back to when mud is for tracking, squirrels are for chasing, and bowls are for the meaty tasting goodness of 100% complete and balanced, blah, 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 real dogs eat meat. Well, there's not really much meat in this food in particular in the first place. But then there's another one. The best, we believe, this is from the same company, we different formula. We believe the best science is found in nature. And so they've got all this like advertising about we're natural. And this
one sounds good.
This one, like you said, has like the piece of red meat, you know, that you would buy from the grocery store and some grain stock. And, you know, and then they've got like carrots and peas. And then they've got these pictures of this delicious fresh food. So they're kind of speaking to that in their advertising. But the reality of what's in the food is actually not what they're saying. And at the same time, they're scaring people away from feeding human food. And what you were speaking to in your book, Susan, is that the pet food industry is sort of modeled after that dogs kind of eating the leftovers. But now what they're getting is our industrial waste, basically, from the human food industry.
Yeah, there's a big difference between leftovers and industrial waste.
Right.
And huge difference.
Yeah.
But it is how it all began. When I was a kid, my grandparents' dogs, they never ate commercial food.
Yeah.
They ate scraps from the table.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody had cancer, and nobody had kidney disease, and these dogs lived to ripe old ages.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't get vaccinations and other things like that as well, too. But,
yeah.
You know, it is, there was actually a campaign developed, and I haven't been able to find much about it, find much evidence of it. I remember this happening, and it was like in the mid-70s, I think, that the Pet Food Institute, which is the lobby organization for big pet food, let's say, they paid veterinarians to say, don't give your dog or cat table food. Don't give them people food.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yep.
And they took ads out in Good Housekeeping and Better Homes and Gardens and radio ads and so forth. So they literally programmed.
Yep.
We have been brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting how they say, oh, don't feed people food. But if you look at these labels, it's people food on the front of it.
Yeah.
You know, don't feed real food. Feed this pulverized stuff that has been ground to where it is no longer recognizable.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form.
It's kind of, it's interesting that there's even this whole concept of pet food versus people food when pet food comes from the human food industry. It's not like there's these different foods that exist on Earth that only pets eat. It's the same food. I mean, it's the same stuff. If you look, it's not like some different molecular makeup that's digestible only by animals. It's the same food. So the fact that there's even a classification, and, you know, people think, oh, you know, people food versus pet food, it's all made out of the same stuff. It's just
that's
that
right.
The pet food is actually the waste from the industry, and it's bad news.
Well, some of them are, to be
some
fair,
of them, yes. Thank
there
you.
There are foods. The challenging part for a pet owner, because of the regulations, and this is AFCO regulations,
mm-hmm.
because of the regulations, you walk into a pet store and you're thinking, okay, I heard this woman on the radio and I want a food that's all human grade. I don't want, you know, any rendered, euthanized animals in there. There is absolutely, regulations do not allow
mm-hmm.
for a quality-minded pet food manufacturer to put on their label, we use USDA-approved meats.
Yep. Now, Susan,
okay.
Hold that thought. I want to pick up right where we're leaving off, but we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Susan Thixton, who is the author of Buyer Beware, The Crimes, Lies, and Truth About Pet Food. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
I'm Dixie, the tiny dog, and I wear a bright silver collar that says I belong to the Johnsons at 519 Nut Lane, but it's not true.
You see the Specializing in spinal decompression, chiropractic, and physiotherapy, Dr. Justin Favreau and his team uses integrative, evidence-based treatments to provide his patients with comprehensive care that works with the body as a whole connected system. Director of the Advanced Rehabilitation and Wellness Center, Dr. Favreau would love to find a solution for your symptoms of pain, numbness, and tingling, headaches, allergies, fatigue, and general malaise. Contact Dr. Favreau at 206-497-4962 or go to advancedrehabandwellness.com. That's advancedrehabandwellness.com.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
The floor in the evening of the Johnsons when everyone's sleeping. Sometimes I look for a morsel of food, but they're so clean. They're almost anal retentive in their cleanliness habits, and there's nothing for me. But I don't despair, because I know tomorrow my Gainsburgers will be there and they will unravel.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're back with Susan Thixton, author of Buyer Beware and founder of truthaboutpetfood.com. Welcome back, Susan.
Thank you.
Well, I was saying, I think I was posting on our Facebook fan page how I was looking forward. This was a few weeks ago. When I was getting ready to start reading the book in preparation for today, and I was saying that I was looking forward to sinking my teeth into the book. And I have to tell you, it's not going down easy.
Yeah.
We were talking about the regulations and the enforcement and how you had said, and it's weird. It's kind of a weird, like, a weird phenomenon that you are allowed to lie. Okay, so it says, where is that quote? It says it's in the regulations where they're basically allowed to say, whether it be direct or indirect statement.
Pet food labels are allowed to make a direct or indirect unqualified claim.
Unqualified claim, right. So,
right.
Which you said is polite for lie.
Well, of course. A direct, unqualified claim. Personally, yeah, I would consider that a lie.
I would interpret that wording as lying as well. And so, and that's written. A direct, unqualified claim is part of the, it's AFCO regulation PF7, nutritional adequacy. Quote, the label of a pet food or specialty pet food, which is intended for all life stages of the pet or specialty pet, may include an unqualified claim, either directly or indirectly.
And this would be something to the effect of quality nutrition for a long and healthy life.
Right. Proactive nutrition for a long and healthy life, nutritionally complete for healthy body weight.
Right.
Yeah, they have all sorts of wording.
Yes.
So,
And imagine if the same was allowed in human food.
Yeah.
Imagine if a fast food restaurant was able to say their hamburger and French fry and soda meal for children was optimal nutrition for healthy body weight.
Yeah.
It can't happen.
Right.
But it is allowed to occur in pet food.
Okay. So they're allowed to say what's not true, but they're not allowed to say what is true in the sense of the and you made a very good point. I'm glad that you said this, that there are, you know, pet food companies out there that do make a good quality food. And, you know, I just spoke with one example of that. I just interviewed Scott Freeman, who's the owner of Nature's Logic Food. And, you know, it sounds like that's a really great food. I've fed that to my own dogs. They seem to do very well on it. And I've actually talked with the owner and you know, it's like, so there are a lot of good foods on the market, but they're not allowed to separate themselves in a way that's clear to consumers from the foods that are not mindful of, you know, not using byproducts and, you know, artificial preservatives and ethoxyquin and all this stuff.
That's right.
And that
they want all the labels to look alike.
Yeah, and it's interesting that they will regulate that. They will regulate. Oh, you're not supposed to say human grade on the bag of food. Naughty, naughty.
Actually, the Honest Kitchen pet food company, when they brought their product into the state of Ohio. On their label, it does say human-grade ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And the state of Ohio said, absolutely not. You can't sell your product here because that's against regulation. And the Honest Kitchen took them to court, and they won. Now, so the exception to that, any reference to greater quality of ingredient, is if a pet food is manufactured in a human food processing facility.
Right. And most of them aren't.
Most of them aren't. There's only two that I am aware of, which is a company called People Food, FUD, and The Honest Kitchen.
Yeah. Well, so, and this, you know, if, like you said, I mean, if this is the first time you've heard this information, I wish we were making this up. I really do. I wish that it wasn't true, but it is. And it's actually in writing. You can go to the FDA website, to the AFCO website, and you can look up these regulations and you can see in writing that they actually say this stuff, you know, the direct unqualified claim. It's fine. And you can find that. We're not just making this up. So I have a question. Why does the FDA This is a question you state in your book. Why does the FDA give pet food manufacturers permission to violate federal law and include horrendous ingredients in pet foods unbeknownst to pet owners? We can only assume the answer is money. And so, you know, you go on to talk about how the FDA has chosen to provide industry a sales/profit outlet for waste, which is what we were talking about. Pet food is basically human food industry waste.
Some pet food.
Thank you. and so it's money. And you, on page 27 of your book, you gave an example of actually how this looks. And we unfortunately have an example locally here with another company. And it has to do with an organization that I really love, involved with therapy dogs. But there is, and you know what I'm talking about,
yes,
too.
Yes, I do.
So here's how it works. And will you kind of illuminate this for us, too? Because I've got this all, it's on page 27 of your book.
Okay.
The Conflict of Interest. ConsumerAffairs.com journalist Lisa Wade McCormick has reported that over the last 2 years, the FDA has received hundreds of complaints from pet owners, all linked to Nutro pet food. Now, this is an example. ConsumerAffairs.com obtained through the Freedom of Information Act copies of consumer complaints to the FDA regarding sick and dying pets that consumed Nutro pet food. The FDA confirmed to ConsumerAffairs.com that it is investigating the pet food company. So, despite the above, there has been no recall. Nutro pet food is owned by Mars, Inc. And this is the case with most large pet food companies, is that they're owned by an even larger company. Like Hill's,
sure.
Hill's Science Diet is actually owned by Colgate-Palmolive, for example. Okay, so then it turns out that a Mars scientist sits on the advisory committee science board to the FDA. And so they talk about this conflict of interest and how they say that, you know, they're going to recruit qualified experts with minimal conflicts of interest for the advisory committee. But actually, they're from these companies. It sounds like a very unethical relationship.
Of course.
Yeah.
And the same unethical relationships, in my opinion, is with AFCO. They have a pet food committee, and they have advisors to the pet food committee.
Yeah.
And members of the Pet Food Institute sit on the advisory board to AFCO. I sat at the meeting, their mid-year meeting, in January. And the first day was a workshop for, it was a labeling workshop, basically for, like, say, a manufacturer, a new manufacturer is wanting to produce a pet food or a treat, and you were there to learn labeling things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my first experience with these regulators, and they put on this workshop. And I sat there, and they'd have an employee of Nutro come up and teach a segment, and they'd cut up, and they'd be on first names. The buddy-buddy mm-hmm. of regulators
yeah.
and industry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
And, as you know, okay, no need in being enemies. That's fine. You might as well be friendly. I get that. However, on this pet food committee, there is not one person on the advisory board that is a consumer representative or
right.
advocate.
Right.
Not one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break and talk more about this aspect of the pet food industry. We're talking with Susan Thixton, who's the author of Buyer Beware, The Crimes, Lies, and Truth About Pet Food. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
We'll be busy. These are clapping dogs. Rhythmic dogs. This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's litter box and food bowls. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Show discount. Invisible Fence, for the life of your pet. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Tell your friends, the place to be is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Yeah, come along. Funky dogs. Nasty dogs.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are talking with Susan Thixton, author of Buyer Beware. Welcome back, Susan.
Thank you.
Time flies. Time flies when you're talking about pet food, that's for sure.
It does.
Okay, so we were talking about the, you know, how does this happen? Okay, so we've been talking all show about these lack of regulations, how they're basically like in writing. This is the law, and this is really our expectations about how you comply to the law. I mean, that's not, laws are meant to be followed, right?
That's correct.
And they're
in. It's not the FDA within their authority to pick and choose
right.
which laws they enforce.
Right, but they do. And
they do.
And then we were talking about a recall, or not a recall, I'm sorry, the lack of a recall, but about all of these, you know, this information from Consumer Affairs that was saying, well, we've had all these consumers getting in touch with us about their sick and dying pets. And this is what's at stake. This is the impact that this is having, is that pets are getting sick and dying as a result of this. This is how serious this is. And this is why, when you share this sentiment, this is personal. Don't mess with the health of my pet. And don't try to lie to me about what's in the food. And if it's going to make my pet sick and potentially shorten my pet's life, I'm going to take that personally, and I don't accept it. So, and that the somebody on the scientific, FDA Advisory Committee Science Board happens to have somebody from Mars, which is the company that owns Nutro, which is probably why there hasn't been any follow-up or any sort of recall. Perhaps.
Well, we can only assume that.
We can only
assume. Since they have not given us any other reasoning.
Right. Now,
that would be the logical assumption, yes.
Now, something else that's sort of in that FDA Advisory Committee Science Board, it's the scientist, Catherine Witecki, expertise, nutrition and food safety. Well, apparently not, if the food is making pets sick to the extent that Consumer Affairs is like, hey, we've had so many people get in touch with us because their pets are sick and dying. So I would question, actually, the qualification, because apparently something's not working, especially if the expertise is supposed to be in food safety. But that's kind of the nature of the beast. So what? Okay, so I always tell people, biggest thing you can do is where you go to buy your pet's food. Do not buy anything marketed that's edible for pets in a grocery store. Treats.
I agree with that.
Treats or food-related, canned food or dried food, because I'll tell you, in my opinion, it's all garbage. You got to be real careful if you're going to a pet superstore. I recommend, unfortunately, in the Seattle area, there are tons of small neighborhood, natural, mindful pet stores, like all the Best Pet Care, that have a commitment to not carrying anything in the store. They won't even let it through the doors if it has animal byproducts or wheat or corn or artificial preservatives or all these nasties that we've kind of been talking about?
I've met so many, met via my website, so many independent pet store owners. And I have to tell you, I'm so impressed with the majority of these people. They do know their stuff. And I completely agree with you that, you know, if I make my own pet food, but if I was buying a commercial food, I would not go anywhere else but an independent.
Yep. We have one of our advertisers on the show is the Natural Pet Pantry, too, which is also carried at all the best pet care. But they're a locally made raw food company, and you can actually go to the small little facility. You can see how clean it is. You can see how they handle the food, and you can see exactly what goes in the food. It's actual food. Because even if you're reading the list of ingredients, I mean, you don't really know. What does it mean? You don't really know what's in the food. And
that's
there's so
right.
much that doesn't have to be put in there if it's not added in the facility. I mean, there's all these loopholes. And like you said, there's nobody representing the consumer. And the laws and the regulations are out to protect the companies. And this was true when I was talking with someone from the Natural Resources Defense Council about flea, a certain flea collar that's still on the market. That's the chemical has been banned by the EPA for household use because it's so toxic. And yet it's still in flea collars, one, harming pets, but two, there's kids touching the pets and then putting it, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So what do you think in the last minute that we have, Susan, 2 minutes? Well, and we got to wrap up, so basically minute. What's it going to take to change this in 60
well,
seconds? Go.
I've got a campaign coming out with the July newsletter that I'm hopeful that many, many pet owners across the United States will help me with, and this will be our first step of really a strong lobby effort to AFCO, and it's to get grade of ingredient information on labels.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of mapped out this whole thing. Other than that, keep asking questions of manufacturers. Learn a few ingredient definitions. Call your congressman. Why are and ask them. You know, these people are in Congress on our tax dollars.
Mm.
They should. Congress is the FDA's boss.
Mm-hmm.
Keep writing your congressman and say these FDA compliance policies should be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that happening?
Yep.
Do something about it.
All
Stop
right.
this.
And get Susan's book, Buyer Beware. You can get it on Amazon.com, The Crimes, Lies, and Truth About Pet Food. And you can also check out her website, truthaboutpetfood.com. She's got a newsletter. She's got an article about pretty much anything you can imagine. And this, people, this is not even the first 30 pages of her book that we've been talking about today on the show. So there's a ton of information. It's here in here. It's really going to make sense. And it's also really going to make it personal because you're going to see pictures of dogs that have dogs and cats that have died as a result of contaminated pet food. Susan, thank you so much for your time today. I look forward to having you back in the future. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's a team effort. I have
yes.
to say there's it's a team effort of people all over the world. I'm just lucky to be the spokesperson. So,
all right. Well, thanks.
About pet food.
Thanks so much for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.